Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
You know, we've been saying, and the CDC has been saying all along, that it is very likely that we're undercounting. You know, the model says that it's a significant amount, as you mentioned correctly, 900,000. That's a bit more than I would have thought the undercounting was. But, you know, sometimes the models are right online. Sometimes they're a bit off.
Oh, so it's a hustle.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The Republican Party, Ali, is a cult. I mean, I know a lot of people say that, but think about what we're saying. One of America's two major political parties is a cult. It's an authoritarian, embracing, undemocratic, un-American cult.
You've got to think for yourself. You're all individuals.
Yes, we're all individuals.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
You've heard the story by now about the three freshman students, women, at the University of Massachusetts Amherst who have been suspended because they went to a St. Patrick's Day party off campus, and they were photographed not wearing masks. And one of their fellow students sent a copy of the picture to the student conduct office, and they were accused of reckless and disruptive behavior, according to Zoo Mass, and they were suspended. And that included immediate removal from housing with no refund, loss of meal plan with no refund, loss of credits with no tuition refund, inability to sign up for fall on-campus housing, inability to enroll in any fall semester classes, need to complete a complete re-enrollment application to get back into UMass. Now, as ridiculous as that is, it becomes even more preposterous when you consider that a few weeks later, the UMass hockey team won the Frozen Final Four, the National Hockey Championship. And there was a big party on the Southwest Horseshoe campus that night where there were 1,000 people. The fireworks set off, chairs smashed. The next morning, the team got back on campus. Hundreds of students congregated to form a parade to celebrate their victory. UMass sanctioned this event and set up ropes so students could stand behind them. No one suspended. Not that they should be. Not that they should be, but why were these three girls singled out and suspended? It's ridiculous. It's totally unfair, especially given the fact that no one else has been suspended from the campus. And joining us now, the story was broken last week, and UMass is standing by what it said. Joining us now on the line are two of the fathers of the three girls, RJ and Scott. And welcome to the show, guys, and we really appreciate you being with us. And let me start with RJ. Your daughter has organized an online petition. Is that right?
Yeah. Hey, Howie, thanks a lot for having us on. Really appreciate it. She's as part of the fight that we've been involved in for, it's been 2 months, Howie, and it's been hell, I can tell you that. It's been a roller coaster ride, up and down, trying to defend my daughter and her friends, based on the accusations thrown at them by the university, and it's been hell for them, for us. I know Scott and his family as well, because we're just trying to do what's right. We just want fairness and equity from the university administration's perspective. So my daughter, yes, she put up a change.org petition yesterday, and as of a little while ago, I think we're well over 1,000 signatures, you know, electronic signatures at this point. So, you know, we're just trying to do everything and anything we can to make these people come to their senses and, you know, wake up and right or wrong, really, is what it comes down to.
Right. We're going to tweet out the a link to the petition if you want to sign it. And, you know, I don't know how much good it'll do, but people, if you want to sign it, it's going to be up for us. Go to @HowieCarrShow.com. Scott, how's your daughter taking this?
You know, RJ summed it up perfectly. And before I get going, thank you so much for having us on, Howie. Love your show. Been a big fan.
Thanks.
Yeah, my you know, it's not just my daughter. It's a full disruption of our family. My daughter was class of 2020, so she lost her prom. She lost her graduation senior week. She muscled through that. She's strong. Then she gets into the school of her dreams, UMass Amherst. I'm an alumni, and she is so elated. And, of course, they say, nope, we're not. They went back and forth, and finally, nope, you can't come to campus. So she spent one semester in a room, you know, just diligently 4.0, getting through her online classes. And then she finally gets there. And it is, I have joked with many a person, you know, I think you get more rights and more privileges in federal prison. But she wanted to be there, and I was happy to at least see her start to get an experience and move away. And, you know, 5 weeks later, they all had COVID within 90 days. They went to a friend's house with masks. They visited the friend. And on the way out, they took a picture as the gathering was starting to get large. It was in the morning. They were there less than a half hour in total on that property. And the university, from that point on, went full draconian measures. They're thrown off campus. They have 1 hour to get their essentials. No communication, or the communication, if any, was incredibly poor. And you look at this and you say, what did they do? I think they actually acted responsibly. And by the way, you'd expect it. They're all honor students. They all were top of their class, national honor.
Scott, what about the people standing behind them? Let's forget the hockey, the hundreds or thousands of people at the hockey celebration. What about the people standing behind them? Why are your daughters being singled out here?
I can't comment, but just philosophically, I'm a UMass alumni. I would have been there too. So...
Is this the Blarney blowout, as they call it?
I believe that was the event. Again, our daughters did not attend it. They were in the vicinity for a very short period of time and left before it became a Blarney blowout, or whatever they deem that celebration to be. By the way, if I was back in school, I probably would have been there myself.
RJ, are you guys going to suing the administration? Or are you still in talks with them to resolve this thing without litigation?
Yeah. So Howie, I want to avoid as much of this as possible. So we are definitely continuing to fight it. We are in discussions with them, and I don't think Scott, myself, or the other family involved are going to stop until we feel that they've reversed what we think is, like Scott said, draconian and ridiculous, discipline it's one picture, Holly. It's one picture that they came up with all of these violations that they threw at them, and we went through the process, the hearing bullet process, and appeal process, and that's just bull. They knew from the get-go that they weren't gonna get these girls off.
Who actually signed the suspension letters, Scott?
I'm not actually sure who signed the suspension letters. It's been just communicated via email, so we haven't gotten any hard paperwork. The other thing, we have requested information. I wanted to understand the policies of getting removed from housing. Like any large organization, you're going to have policies and procedures. So I've requested those, and I've been unable to get any of that information. They just are unresponsive, and so it's been a complete blackout in terms of getting, any depth behind the charges, what they actually mean, how they came about them. It's been frustrating from that perspective, and then it's been heartbreaking to watch the effect on the other side, looking at my daughter, my wife, and just how it's impacted our family.
RJ, have you and Scott, have you guys seen the picture on Turtle Boy Sports of Marty Meehan, the president of the university, who makes $600,000 a year, posing without a mask with one of the local students? I mean, what's the difference?
I absolutely did, and that's where the dichotomy comes in, right? You mentioned the reckless and disruptive behavior, and that was one of the things that we were inquiring about during the whole process. Well, what, define reckless, define disruptive, and then I see what happens on April 9th when the men's national hockey team won the national championship, and I see what looked like to me rioting, looked like they were out in Portland, Oregon, and you know, if that's not reckless and disruptive, I don't know what is. And then I look at the picture of my daughter and her friends taking a picture. Nice, beautiful day. Sure, they have their mask off, or it was not even a minute. And that they are lumped in with that kind of behavior. It's just, it's sickening and appalling. And it doesn't make any sense. It's
hey, have you, when you talk to the administrators, do you say, hey, what about the people at the hockey celebration, including the national champions? I mean, again, not that you're looking to get them suspended, but what? How do they answer that, the double standard that's obvious?
They give you a non-answer. They cannot talk about other students' issues or discipline action. So they, for one thing, I think Scott had mentioned it, they take forever to get back to you, so that they don't even want to talk to you. And when they do, it's like they didn't get back to you because they don't tell you a damn thing. So they give you no information, no useful information. It's unfair.
Did either of you guys ever think about sending your daughters somewhere else after this this miscarriage of justice, or do they want to go back to Amherst?
So I can't speak for all the girls, but it's starting to erode their opinion of the university for sure. This has been just an amazingly cruel process, and I personally would never want to go there, and I wouldn't really want to fit, send my daughter there, but it's really her choice. This is her journey, and that's the biggest troubling thing. It's not just a semester. They've really disrupted a full year of their academics because of the suspension and loss of credits. That's one semester, but while this is going on, they couldn't enroll for classes that they need, and they couldn't register for housing. So it really impacts a full calendar year of their academic higher education pursuit. And you just say, for what?
And you're both out 16. You're both, you guys are out $16,000, RJ. What do you think of that? $16,000 you're out.
You know what, Howie? That sucks. Don't get me wrong. But the worst of it is the hour, literally hundreds of hours that I know my daughter put in, and I'm sure Scott did as well, and the other friend, is the effort and blood, sweat, and tears that they put in to again, 4.0 students. My daughter was the valedictorian of her high school. She's an honor student here at UMass. She got a merit scholarship. And the fact that they're taking that away, like that's nothing to them, that's what really gets me going. The money, absolutely, I'm not in a position where I can just throw 16 grand out the window. That hits home and hurts. But for me, it's taking that the effort and the hard work that these girls put in and saying, oh, sorry, means an absolute nothing.
We appreciate you being with us. And again, if you want to sign the petition, you can go to get it on our website. We've got a link up there. One last question for you guys. Did you ever think about telling them to say they were at a peaceful protest? Then Charlie Parker would be supporting them.
That's a fantastic idea. We didn't think of that.
I feel bad for you guys. My brother went there. One of my daughters went there. I just can't imagine how absurd things are at UMass Amherst now. Thanks a lot, guys. And we'll be in contact as we go through this. And thanks so much for being with us. And you may be getting a call from the Herald after this is over. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls on this when we come back. The frenzied real estate market is causing bidding wars across certain segments. Real estate brokers are holding calls for highest and best offers because demand is so high. How do you as a seller know that you have realized all of the money for your property and if you sold under the best terms? You wouldn't hire a refrigerator repairman to fix your valuable car, would you? So when selling real estate, let the bidding war experts for over 45 years sell your property quickly in this bidding war environment, contingency-free and for true market value. Recent real estate auctions for Howie Carr Show listeners have attracted as many as 30 qualified, cash-ready buyers battling for their properties. At the end of the auction, you will know that no money was left on the table. Remember, when you sell your real estate in the usual way with a broker, you pay the commission. But in a J.J. Manning auction, the buyer pays, not the seller. That saves you, the seller, thousands of dollars right there, right off the top. Whether residential, commercial, or land undeveloped, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. I'm Howie Carr.
Follow Howie on Twitter, at Howie Carr Show. You won't regret it. He's not here to make nice.
Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friends.
The Howie Carr Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Gold Co. We're all facing a global pandemic, U.S. debt piling up, and a looming Biden tax plan all set to wreak havoc on our retirement savings. Visit goldco.com/Howie Carr to learn how you can protect your money. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Dr. Fauci says people have gotten used to wearing masks. Have you?
Absolutely not. No.
98% say no.
All right. 844-500-4242. Where is the ACLU in regards to these three girls, says 781s? When the phone don't ring, 781, you'll know it's the ACLU. They're not into protecting people like these three girls. Unless they were, if they were peacefully protesting and, tried to torch something, torch a police car or shot at the cops, they'd probably be in their corner. But otherwise, forget about it. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Long-time listener. I'm not really getting the full gist of the story. However, a point is, if there was no crimes committed, I mean, people weren't hurt, people weren't injured, you know, those kind of crime things. And if it's just school policy they're coming at these young ladies with and the families,
right?
You're going to have to squeeze the schools. Squeeze them more. Get the people behind these young ladies. And as far as the ACLU goes, I worked for a nonprofit organization for a long time. Had a problem with them. They didn't help me either. So don't stand behind them either. Go ahead, Howie. Thanks
for the call, John. No, I don't. You don't want the ACLU behind you in a foxhole. That's for sure. Or next to you in a foxhole. Jeff, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, Howie. How you doing? Hey, one of the questions is going to be ultimately how, when they try to litigate some of this stuff and sue these universities for trying to screw their children out of their tuition and place in school and everything else, how the courts are going to respond to legal action along these lines. And that includes all the all the lawsuits that have been filed against the CDC and the FDC, et cetera, for all the stuff they've done here with COVID.
I mean, a lot of that stuff's going to revolve around scientific data and all this. I mean, this is more cut and dried, though, isn't it, Jeff? I mean, these three girls were singled out for a suspension, and yet hundreds, if not thousands, of other students who did exactly the same thing after the national championship for the hockey team were not punished. I mean, it's pretty cut and dried, isn't it?
I guess it's just for optics, and they must think that there's an upside for them getting it out in the news that they're being heavy-handed with people that don't comply with their mandate regarding face masks and everything else. And, you know, I heard this afternoon that the FDC or the CDC just approved this Pfizer vaccine for 12 to 19-year-olds.
Right, 12 to 15-year-olds, I think, 15. But it's, yeah, you're right. I mean, so now they're going to, Mara Healey, the Attorney General of Massachusetts, is talking about having mandatory vaccinations for public employees. Mandatory. I mean, I thought the lefties were believed in freedom of choice, our bodies ourselves. Apparently not, though. 844-500-4242. What do you think of this? You think this should have happened? Should the hockey revelers be suspended? I don't know. But this is ridiculous. If you're not going, you have to have one set of rules for everybody, don't you? Don't you? I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
By the way, we want to keep talking about the UMass situation. We got a few cuts to play from Charlie Parker. But on the subject of Liz Cheney, another party is heard from. You may be familiar with his name, Orenthal Juice Simpson, O.J. Simpson, is checking in on Twitter.
Watching cable news is all about Liz Cheney. Now, I got to admit, I was not a fan of Liz Cheney. Don't get me wrong, I'm 50-50 on her politics, but I didn't like her. And then I just realized recently the reason I didn't like her had to do with her father, probably my least favorite politician of my adult life, former Vice President Dick Cheney. Then I saw a show the other day, and I saw a quote by Voltaire that said that patriotism was the enemy of mankind. Thought about that a little bit. Somehow I started thinking about the Republican Party. And it seemed that fact-based truth and honesty seemed to be the enemy of many of these Republican politicians. And Liz Cheney stands up for the truth. And that's got her a lot of heat. She may lose her position in the party. She may even lose her career as a politician. But that is something to be admired, standing up for the truth. That's something I know her father wouldn't have done. So right now I'm kind of a fan of Liz Cheney.
With friends like that, dot, dot, dot. Bruce, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, Howie, my data that I've gathered over this being like Fauci, you got three successful young women that are very popular, that have they were on the dean's list and whatnot, and you have some little liberal troll that's jealous of them,
right?
And they didn't take pictures of other people. Our ex president. Our ex president. They just made things up to make things.
Well, again, if you look at the picture, I see like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are at least close to a dozen people behind them. I mean, granted, they're smaller, and you know they've got various. One of them's drinking from a red Solo cup, etc. But there's at least a dozen other people they could have busted for not wearing masks, and they didn't. You know, and I wonder. I forgot to ask you the two fathers if they know who the person was who ratted out their daughters. I rather doubt it. It just says in the petition at change.org, another UMass student sent it to the student conduct office. I mean, what kind of rats do something like this? They're having a little fun after this crappy year that they've been through. And this happens, and this is the thing, and then they don't do anything about the hockey. Actually, the UMass sanctioned the event, the welcome back of the hockey team after they won the national championship. And again, that's a very big thing. That's probably the biggest thing that's ever happened in UMass athletics, bigger than Dr. J. He never won the national championship. I think they won the NIT, but not the national championship. UMass sanctioned this event, meaning the welcome back to the hockey team, and set up ropes so that students could stand behind them. These students violated the same COVID guidelines that the girls were found responsible for. Officer Mark says, so if the girls had thrown the traditional flaming couch from the 10th floor of a dorm, that would be okay, just a verbal warning. Where's Marty? Marty is posing with a picture of us with a student not wearing a mask. He's not wearing a mask, and the student's not wearing a mask. Apparently, the student is one of these quote-unquote student leaders who, is a flunky for the athletic director. But why isn't that kid being suspended? Why isn't Marty, the president of the university, being suspended for a couple of weeks with no pay? Thanks for the call, Bruce. Rick, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rick.
Howie, long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks. You know, when those dads got on the phone with you, the first thing I heard was, we love your show, we listen all the time, and a bell rang. I'd love to know, and it wouldn't surprise me in the times the way they are, if the daughters are outspoken, maybe Trump supporters, they're great students, they may have spoken publicly a year ago, a few months ago, maybe the parents, it wouldn't surprise me. If somewhere along the line there's a connection to them being outspoken politically in favor of Trump, it would not surprise me.
Well, I think that, I've heard from many students over a number of years that students who speak out at any of these colleges, but UMass is one in particular, and says something conservative or pro-Trump, they're going to be shunned or attacked like that kid in California by the adjunct professor who defended the cops. I don't know if that's the case here, but it certainly seems that they've singled these three young women out. And again, I think they did it at the absolute wrong time from their woke perspective, because you can't have one set of standards for 1,000 people celebrating a hockey national championship and a different set for three young women just going out for a morning out off campus on a Saturday morning. 844-500-4242. People want to know who was the student who tattletaled on them. I dare say there's Omerta checking in there that they're not going to be able to find out who did that. I should have asked them, though. We'll try to find out later on. Thanks for the call, Rick. Rob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rob.
Hi, Howie. Any idea who the state rep is? I mean, if they don't come out on behalf of the students here, they should be subject to political retribution like nobody's business.
Well, actually,
this is a political thing here.
Actually, they're state rep. They're from the two Massachusetts girls are from Tewksbury, and I believe Tewksbury is represented by Barry Feingold, and he's backing them up. He's the state senator. He ran for some higher office and lost, but now he's back in the legislature. UMass, by suspending them, that is a cost of to these families of $16,000, Senator Feingold said. This is according to Channel 5. That is a huge, hefty penalty for not wearing a mask. So the state senator is behind him, as well he should be, you know? So the state rep from Amherst is a super masker. She's as much of a member of the mask cult as Charlie Parker is. But I don't know that she had anything to do with this per se. This looks like a university thing to me. Thanks for the call there, Rob. Lisa, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi. Hi, Howie. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hi. So I'm an alum of UMass. I donate every year. I absolutely will not donate after listening to the story. Where are the board of trustees? And I've seen a lot of people on Twitter saying they will no longer donate to the school. When do they get involved? This is an outrage.
But the board of trustees, Lisa, is all appointed by Charlie Parker. So, you know, what side do you think they're on?
UMass is going to lose a lot of money over this. At what point do they do the right thing by these girls? This is an outrage.
I know. You know, the most telling thing here is you don't have to explain what happened. All you got to do is show that still shot of them without the mask on, and then cut away to 2 or 3 weeks later. This is the scene on the same campus that they have now been suspended from. And it's all these hockey players and their fans running around without masks on. And again, I don't want them suspended either. But how can you suspend these three girls who are off campus when you're not suspending the hundreds, if not thousands, of students who were at the celebration for the hockey team? It makes no sense. You know, I don't think my brother gives any money to UMass for a long time, but I'm sure he's not giving any money to them either. I mean, why would you? Well, why would you want to encourage this kind of stuff? My brother was actually an instructor after he finished up, before he went to graduate school. And they, you know what? I think it was like 1975, so it was a long time ago. He had to sign a loyalty oath to the United States of America to get a job as an instructor, just, you know, a part-time graduate student assistant. And I mean, how times have changed, right? Now you basically have to sign a loyalty oath to the deep state, to the cult of COVID, to panic porn, to Massachusetts. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And you know, shouldn't the student office have gotten the picture and just said, you know, what are we going after? What are we going to get them for next? Throwing a cigarette butt on the sidewalk or crossing against the light? I mean, how serious is this? There's nobody's dead at UMass. The infection rate is non-existent. The the president of, the president of UMass, they got a picture of him. Again, I urge you to check it out on Turtle Boy. He's there with one of the students, and neither of them are wearing masks. How come they're not suspended? And meanwhile, you have the governor. The governor can't even remember whether he's the father or the son of a 93-year-old. Listen to this, cut one. This is today, this afternoon.
Almost 90% of our residents over the age of 75 have received at least one dose, a metric where we are far above the national average. And as the father of the son of a 93-year-old, I particularly appreciate that metric.
He's just getting ready for his phone call with Joe Biden tomorrow.
Yeah, which is, well, how are we going to be able to tell the difference between Joe Biden and Charlie Parker? Oh, boy. 844-500-4242. So, cut 12.
A big part of why we were anxious to create Post, even before everything, all the awful stuff that happened last summer, was because we felt we needed a clearinghouse around, especially around law enforcement issues with respect to that stuff.
Is he referring to the ongoing scandals at the state police? Now, the latest one was a trooper suffered what they call a medical emergency while off duty on Friday afternoon and is now on medical leave. And the spokesflack for the state police said, that is all I have to offer you at the present time. So why won't they tell us what kind of medical emergency this trooper suffered? Why won't they give us the details on the dishonorable discharge / resignation of Dwayne Correa, who was taken off the payroll back late last year? They're still stalling us. They had 10 days to respond to our emails, to our Freedom of Information Act requests, and they just keep stalling. They've been stalling us for 2 months on the 10 days. What are the state police hiding? Charlie, why don't you talk about the state police instead of the local law enforcement and trying to scapegoat them? Why don't you do something about your own department? You know, the department that lugged your son off the JetBlue air flight and then broomed the case to the U.S. Attorney's office, that state police. Why are you covering up for the state police who didn't prosecute your son after he was accused of groping a young woman on the flight, the JetBlue flight up from D.C.? 844-500-4242. What is Nick Sandman's lawyer doing? Well, I guess he's had some problems since then. That would be L. Lynn Wood. Nick Sandman is the kid from Covington Catholic. But, I mean, these kids are getting framed just like Nick Sandman did, the Covington Catholic high school student. I mean, they're being treated as unfairly, maybe even more unfairly. Certainly there's a double standard here of justice. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Howie Carr is back.
You're enjoying your day. Everything's going your way. Then along comes Charlie Parker. Always there to tell you about a new disease, a car accident, or killer bees. He begged to spare you,
Charlie, please.
But you can't stop Charlie Parker.
I never knew he was the father of a 93-year-old. He's a lot older than I thought he was. I thought he was about like 65. I guess he's probably closer to 120, 130, something like that. Now, let me ask you this. If you had heard the sound cut I'm about to play, would you have ever voted for him if you had heard what he said? He's talking about moving the date up for the full restoration of Massachusetts residents' civil rights earlier than August 1st. Cut 5.
But we said at the time that if people continued to get vaccinated and people continued to get fully vaccinated and we continued to see progress on some of these other metrics, that we would consider moving earlier.
So in other words, he's saying if you do what he tells you to do, if you behave, you may get your civil liberties restored, which he took from you unconstitutionally. I don't think I would have voted for him. Actually, I didn't vote for him in 2018. I blanked the top of the ticket. I voted for him in 2014 and 2012 and 2010, but not after that. Cut 10.
And we're now on the back end of this. And if
we are?
The Commonwealth and the people of Massachusetts continue to perform the way they have in terms of getting vaccinated in the weeks ahead, I think we could be in a really good place in a fairly reasonable period of time.
A fairly reasonable amount of time. Oh, okay. Cut eight, one more, and then we'll go back to the calls. Cut eight.
The facts on the ground aren't always the same in all 50 states, but I certainly think that for us in the short term, the message has been, you know, getting vaccinated is the fastest and best and easiest way for everybody to get back to what I would call normal.
You know what I would call getting back to normal? Getting you the hell out of the corner office. And getting Karen Polito out of the corner. Well, I don't, you know what? I don't even care if it's a Democrat. Is it going to make any difference? You have cost everybody in the Commonwealth a year of their lives for no bleeping good reason. Kathy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
Am I on the air?
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, all right. I just had a comment observation that the only suspensions were against females.
Yes.
And I realized the hockey team is the moneymaker for that school.
Yes, it is.
But I also realized that the person that drove the bus on this for these girls is the vice chancellor for student affairs. Her name is Brandy Hefner LeBlanc.
Right.
She was very stern and quite frankly,
Just hired last year, Kathy, and she made $277,000. That's what you call a middle manager at UMass. That's her starting pay, $277,000. And I think she may have, you know, taken a little bit of a pay cut, you know, because of the alleged cutbacks. I think she may have been on the payroll for $310,000, but she only made $277,000. You should check her out, actually. Conrad, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Conrad.
Hey, Howie. Long time. I wanted to tell you, my daughter goes to that school 8 miles down the road from UNC. She went out to brunch with a couple of her friends. She lives off campus, followed all the North Carolina and Duke rules.
Yeah.
One of the girls took a picture, posted it on Instagram. Next day, she got an email from the Dean of Student Affairs. You know, the terrorizing email. So she calls me in a panic thinking she's going to get kicked off, right?
This is at Duke. Jesus. It's crazy. You know, UNC is not requiring people next fall, the students, to get vaccinations. That's the one good thing I've heard about UNC, my alma mater, in a long time. Duke, I haven't heard much good about them in a very long time. I'm Howie Carr.